How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For nearly 8 years.
8 years.
And nearing 400 episodes.
400 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional Wrestling's podcast
of record.
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 This is Jim Cornette, and you're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and you made the right choice.
And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Backstage here in Houston at Night of Champions, Kevin Owens, tonight you win your first major singles championship in WWE. Take us back.
You know, honestly, the only thing that comes to mind right now is woo! Yeah!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Champion!
I'm no champ, you know. I bet you can't beat me.
Yay!
Louder!
Yay!
Louder!
Yay!
Louder!
Yeah!
Loud noises!
Too loud.
Wow, okay. I did not expect a pony open the week that I get the keys to the kingdom. My name is Jason Block, as this is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. Nikki Haman, well, I think she may be scouting locations and making sure that the Pope has blessed Madison Square Garden to make sure that her uncle's client, Brock Lesnar, doesn't destroy the Big Show too much. But I have a, you know, an interesting table today. First, on the other side of the world, of course, Bad News Beeman. How are you, Shane?
I'm still recovering from that opening. What the hell was that? I mean, geez, I know who does the openings around here, and that man hates ponies, but god
yeah,
see, damn it.
Yeah, and speaking of the man who hates ponies, from New Jersey, Jim Williams, how are you, sir?
I thought because you were on board, I would go ahead and throw you a bone, because I know you are a brony, Jason Block.
Uh-huh.
All week long, all I hear you saying is, hey, we want some pony! Hey, we want some pony! Pony.
Right. You seriously need to just tone down the decaf a little bit. However, welcome back to the NAWC table. This is an awesome table for three with Gene Aguilera. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Although, after that, I'm kind of regretting already coming back here.
Oh, no. Don't regret it. Because
Aguilera, he hasn't changed.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to talk Night of Champions, because we did have a pay-per-view this week. And we had Night of Champions, and the pay-per-view itself, at least to me, was meh, except for a couple of matches, which we'll get to in a minute. What was interesting to me outside of the pre-show, outside of Stardust pinning Neville in the sixth man, where Cosmic Wasteland beat the Lucha Dragons and Neville, was the fact that Sheamus announced that Rollins would defend both of his titles back to back. Okay. Now, when you heard that, Shane, did that ring any alarm bells to you, or was that just more of a showing how Rollins is one of the MVPs of 2015?
A little bit of both. The alarm bell that rang for me was like, holy shit, I'm actually going to get what I think I'm going to get. I think we're going to get Sting as the new World Heavyweight Champion and Sheamus cashing in. This is going to be awesome. But,
yeah, that did not happen by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, instead, who won the title that night? Guacamole! Fuck, seriously?
Like, hot give me kids! A... Yeah, hot kids! So, the show opens itself, which, with a pretty good match in Ryback Owens, and, ta-da! Kevin Owens has his first major belt. Thoughts, people? Gene, what do you think?
No one can help him now.
What do you mean?
Let's be honest here. That title has been a cement block around mid-carders for the past 8 years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Kevin Owens can make the championship interesting again, but considering this is the same year that that everybody played hot potato with the title leading up to WrestleMania, my hopes aren't too high. And by the way, when I say hot potato, that's really not a metaphor.
Right, right. All I have to say is this, and we've said this for I don't know how many weeks, Jason. I don't know how many weeks we've been talking about this. But we are now going to see the brilliance of a dick heel champion.
Yeah.
This is Dick Heel Champion 101. People think Seth Rollins is a dick heel. Oh, no. Kevin Owens will be the ultimate dick heel champion of this year. Watch yes. and see. It's going to be fun.
Shane, are you happy with this?
Well, I called it with my prediction being Owens' new champion. I think he personally deserves it from the whole being... being stopped by Cena and not getting the title then.
That could have been in the plans for later on. You never know. And we don't know how hurt Ryback really is. Technically speaking, he may not
be 100%. Technically, we don't know how serious his injury is, but due to the fact he did a pretty alright tag team match this past week, I don't know, it might have just been a little nagging injury. They might have just... giving Kevin Owens the title because he deserves it.
I'm really happy about. Totally happy about. Now, so we find out that next month is Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell tour. Hence what we talked about, Nikki. Now, October 3rd.
She's been in hell for 8 years. It's called this show.
Oh, no. Why do you think I'm hosting it this week?
Because you need saving.
Yes, I do need saving. Well, I could have gone to the mass tonight. You never know. the Pope's in town. Of course, I might just explode. Anyway, no. October 3rd, the Madison Square Garden show. We have Lesnar fighting Big Show, and we'll go through the MSG card momentarily, at least the four matches that we know of, at least that I can think of. Then on October 19th, Brock Lesnar appears on the Stone Cold podcast, and that could be fun.
Could be fun. That is going to be hell on earth, literally. Like, we had the Paul Heyman podcast in which it ended with Austin getting in Heyman's face and saying, why would you want to put Brock Lesnar against me when I'm going to fuck up his momentum pretty much? And now you're going to have Lesnar on there with Austin. It's going to be combustible.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you think this could be a precursor to a WrestleMania 32 match? Because a report in the Observer this week said that Lesnar could fight The Rock, Austin, Rollins, and somebody else. I forget who was the fourth one. But, yeah.
If I get on that podcast, Lesnar getting arced up and actually saying he would face Austin in any match he wanted, then we've got our WrestleMania 32 match right there. Because I guarantee you, if that is said, then that Texas Death Match will happen at WrestleMania 32.
Do you agree with that, Jim?
It's certainly possible. I just... I don't want to see Austin wrestle again, really.
Well, as we found out later on, you'll find out why. You'll see.
Yes.
But we had something more interesting announced in the main event of Hell in a Cell. Whoops.
Oh, marking out. Marking out.
Yeah, marking out indeed. Yes, which will be... Hold on.
If it's anything like their 2003 Hell in a Cell encounter, take my fucking money.
Which will be Undertaker and Lesnar 3 in a rematch of Hell in a Cell. Since the you know their second Hell in a Cell match in 2002. Are you excited would that make you plunk down your $9.99, Gene?
Well, truth be told, I kind of crib off my best friend's WWE Network subscription.
Yeah, but well, I understand that, but you know, but no, I'm saying, but would you watch it?
Let's play the theoretical game, man.
Okay, but I mean, I would watch Brock versus Taker in a Hell in a Cell match because even as he's kicking down 50's door, it's still a lot of fun seeing Undertaker matches. But I mean, if my personal opinion, I thought they could have extended it to a later pay-per-view, maybe a bigger pay-per-view. If they really wanted a cell match, they could have possibly gotten away with even that. Because they did it for Triple H versus The Undertaker, right? And honestly, I think this might draw more money than that.
Mm. Well, it's going to be very interesting to watch that. So, we had some matches that really didn't mean much. I mean, Ziggler wins after a backfiring Summer Rae interference. He's throwing a shoe, really, at Rusev, and it hits. Okay. The New Day and the Dudleys tag team match, we had the Dudleys winning by DQ after Xavier interfering.
After 3D was hit on, I think it was Kofi.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah, but still, but more but, importantly, more importantly, the trombone was mic'd up.
Yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, exactly. The
trombone. We have no soundboard this week. I know you're depressed about that, folks.
So then we had the Charlotte Nikki match, and in the result that should have happened on that past Monday, Charlotte is now the Divas title with the figure eight. Now, I'm going to talk about this here and now and hear what this is. And Shane, I'm going to ask you because I know how much of a Paige fan you are.
Hell okay? Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Paigeling, yes.
Yes, he's a Paigeling. Now, we all saw, well, I'm going to fast forward a little bit to Monday Night Raw, where there was a celebration for Charlotte, and Ric Flair was there, and then Paige just went absolutely batshit.
I'm not gonna deny the woman her right to belittle every diva.
But I'm gonna ask you the question. Doesn't it feel like we've been here before?
It was pretty much like a female version of CM Punk almost. There were people that made comparisons, and you do see like the little memes that went around with Paige with on Punk's body, yada yada yada. I thought she did a really great job with it. It was great seeing a bit of the anti-diva come back. And especially more so with what happened on SmackDown when she slapped the piss out of Natalya. But
right.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm hoping that it's not going to be like her heel run when she first started in WWE. Like when she first debuted on the main roster, because that was weak. I'm hoping this becomes a much better run and leads to a third title reign.
All right, Jim. Gene, you go ahead. You have something to say?
Not to interrupt anybody. I'm just here to say there's already a female version of CM of a CM Punk promo that existed, and it's existed for over a year.
Yeah, AJ Lee did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, I have
can
a
we
question.
Mention her name anymore?
Yeah, well, we can. WWE can't now because Nikki broke the fucking record. Yeah, okay. But now, Gene, I'll ask you this question because you're a product, okay? And I've had this discussion all week with multiple people. How can NXT be so awesome with the women's division? And you could have matches like Bayley Sasha and Bayley Sasha for a 30-minute Iron Woman match on October 7th. And then you have crap booking in the WWE. I mean, are we back to where we were before all these people came up?
Truth be told, it never really left. And that sounds super cynical when I say it. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's because NXT, and I hate to belabor a point, but NXT doesn't have as much scrutiny. So they're free to be a little more organic and be a little more cutting edge than the current WWE product. And I'm not mentioning any names right now.
I'm here. You can mention any names you
Kevin
want.
Dunn. I'm sorry, I had a cough.
Who did you say? Who did you say?
Kevin Dunn. Oh, I'm sorry, I had a cough.
Whoa. Are you calling out Kevin Dunn here? Seriously.
I'm calling out. It's the difference. Here's what it comes down to, simply put. Two different creative minds, okay? You've got Raw SmackDown creative, which is all under one roof, under the guidance of Dunn and McMahon and so on and so forth. And you've got Triple H with NXT as his baby. It's the difference between, like you said, Gene, organic and inorganic to a certain degree. NXT, you can relate to a little bit better. Raw, SmackDown, it's detached and still the same old thing we've seen for years and years and years and years. It's a difference of the man in control, really, when you get right down to it. I mean, it's Vince versus Triple H when you get right down to it. I throw Kevin Dunn in there because, well, he's mucked things up for I don't know how many years.
That's the proof's in the ratings.
The proof. I'm sorry to interrupt. The proof is also in the ratings. Let me jot this down right here. I have to go to our favorite cynic. His name is Justin Henry, of Blue Bar Cage, Fighting Spirit Magazine, so on and so forth. The average Raw rating in 2014 was a 2.95. The average this year to date is 2.76. That's a drop of 6.5%, which is sizable. So, what's causing the drop? The fact that we're getting a lack of compelling storylines, the fact that we're getting a lack of quality, you know, quality storylines, I think is what it comes down to. So, I mean, Jason, when you lose 6.5% of your audience year to year, as Raw has done.
Well, of course. I mean, this was the lowest rated Raw in this since 2012, if I remember correctly. 3.3 million people were watching. Of course, they were also watching the Jets Colts and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's with every Monday night during football season. So you throw that out the window. It's the Divas Revolution is not really a revolution, is what I'm getting at, Jason. And they're just plugging different people in it's a misuse of talent, okay? For goodness sakes, how many times have we seen over the last several weeks people want Sasha Banks in matches? They don't want to see Nikki or Brie or any of the established talent. And to a certain extent, Shane, I hate to say it, that also to an extent includes Paige. They'd rather see Sasha take on Charlotte or Becky.
But that's the thing, though, is because, like, WWE, this is where I get pissed off, is because WWE has completely fucked up Paige. And that's the honest to God truth.
Paige, from moment one.
Exactly. Right. She was in FCW, now NXT. She was the anti-diva. She was a badass bitch that everyone was like, oh shit, here comes Paige. I'm going to get messed up right now. And everyone loved her for that. They're like, yes, we don't have a prissy prima donna on our friggin' shows anymore. But now she comes on the freaking WWE, and because Vince McMahon can't wrap his head around it, instead now we get bloody Prissy Paige, and that's why I'm hoping...
We're going to give you an emo diva, yeah!
That's what it is. They make her off like an emo diva, like a goth, goth, which she isn't, okay? There's a difference between anti-diva and being, gothic. So, they're dropping the ball. And should we really be surprised? No. Just like we really shouldn't be surprised that Jason's Skype connection is a piece of shit tonight. Carl, you better have fun with this, Carl. I'm telling you, I don't know.
You know what? Fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Dude, you write it. I'll write it. You do it live. Ooh. Fucking thing sucks.
Fuck.
Indeed. Jason.
Yeah. Which is why I said in the beginning, like, if Jason's going to have this problem, we might need Carl to, like, freaking just go.
Okay. Can you hear me again?
Yes, we can.
Okay, you're right. They have screwed up Paige from moment one. But now also Total Divas is screwed up because their ratings are low as hell. Right? Their ratings are in the tank. And now you have this crap? I don't know.
Because no one gets... Okay, here's the sad thing. Okay, and I'm a person that watches Total Divas. Here's the thing. It's just becoming bland now. Like, they're turning it into fucking Days of Our Lives. Like, I have to hear about friggin' Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan's problems. I have to hear about friggin' John and Trinity or Naomi's problems. It's like, dude, we didn't turn in to listen to relationship problems. We watched Total Divas because it gave us a new insight into the actual divas themselves. And now it's just becoming like a bad like soap opera because we're hearing like the Bellas fight and all this crap. It's like, oh,
will Tyson and Natalya ever make out with one another on the next Total Divas?
Will Tyson ever be able to handle the fact that his wife now likes whipping people for a living? It's like, Jesus.
You say that like it's a bad thing, Shane.
Well, you know what? Speaking of not a bad thing, but a more what the fuck thing, was the six-man match, okay?
Yes.
Now, you had the Wyatt family, 2.0, with Braun Strowman in the Eric Rowan role. So you had Reigns. You had Ambrose. And Y2J? Huh?
It is continuity, though, because...
I'm not saying it wasn't continuity, right, Gene? Because, you know, Wyatt and Jericho was around last summer. You know that.
Yeah, it was. But even still, this is a weird thing for Jericho to come back to.
And the thing is that Jericho wasn't even mentioned. He just said, you know, it was just like a pay-per-view shot, a pay-per-view check, which was really, it was interesting to me. Okay. So, and again, that was the worst choice they could have made. So then we have the Rollins back-to-back matches. Now, match number one, Cena Rollins for the billionth time. I could watch these two people read the telephone book. They're that good together.
Right.
Cena and Rollins. I mean, and Cena winning the title meant really nothing to me because I'd rather have Cena have the U.S. belt because he actually makes it more important.
He elevates it, yeah.
Yes, he does. And, of course, you know, it was a great match. Again, Cena and Rollins work well together. And, again, this is part of his wrestling throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Rollins was like, fuck this, I don't want to wrestle Sting, I'm done. Cena's like, hi kids, boom, tosses him in the ring. So now you had Sting Rollins, and oh boy. Now, do we want to talk about the ending, or we want to talk about the real life about the ending? How do you want to deal with this?
I would say the real life about the ending kind of makes sense.
All right, Shane. So I'm watching the match, and then about 2 minutes before the match ends, Sting crumples in a heap. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Right? Right, Shane?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the first buckle bomb that you saw the whiplash effect, and you're like, oh, shit.
I didn't see that part, but okay.
The first buckle bomb, you saw that there was a whiplash, and you're like, okay, that one you could pass off as a work. Second one, hell no. That one, you knew something was wrong. And then the ending with it, with that sloppy roll, it was like, oh, yep, Sting's hurt, something's wrong. And then they hold up the X, and sure enough, a day later, you find out the man has some cervical damage.
But the thing is that he said on an interview on WWE.com that he wants to come back, and he's going to be back. It's just a question of when. Gene, he's got to just say no, right? He's done. Or do you think he should come back? What do you think?
It's really a matter of opinion. On the one hand, I don't know how much drawing power Sting has at this point that a return is even, you know, worth his time or worth the WWE's time. I suppose they could make at least one more dream match at WrestleMania, and you know, they could probably do Taker Sting.
Jim,
I say this with all due respect as a fan of the Stinger going back to his WCW days in the late 80s, early 90s. Stop. You have nothing to prove. No reason to get back in there. You've done this for 25, 30 years. You have nothing left to prove.
We've said the same thing to Taker too, though. Like, Taker's put his body through hell.
But and he has, and I think this is the thing. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about, sort of with the Divas earlier. And I'm not trying to be a smark here. I'm really not. People wonder why ratings are down. People wonder why, people are rather watching NXT, although with one diva in charge, they will, you know, not be watching that too much. Let's just say she's redheaded and loves wrestling. The nostalgia factor. Yeah, we all love the old school stuff. We love the nostalgia factor of an Undertaker match. And Taker can still go, okay? There's a difference. Taker can still go a couple of times a year.
So can Sting.
I don't know. I really don't know that he can.
He could up until that one last move.
I was about to say the same thing. Are you telling me you watched that Night of Champions match and didn't think that Sting was hanging with Seth Rollins?
He was hanging with him, but again, the way offensive maneuvers are in this day and age, some of them, I don't know that he can handle it with the way his body is. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're overreacting a little, but I'm not disagreeing with you. But
I mean, you know, the turnbuckle bomb, yeah, it's been around before Seth Rollins, but, you know, a 30-year-old body can take it differently than a 56-year-old body. That's all I'm saying. So,
you know, but here's the thing, okay? You know, the way I see it, I mean, you know, let's just also finish actually the card, because we had something very interesting happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So Rollins retains the match, retains the world title, and then Sheamus comes out and bro kicks him. And we're like, okay, you know, Sheamus is going to cash, yada, yada, blah, blah. And then Kane comes out and chokeslams both Rollins and Sheamus and gives Rollins a tombstone.
Vintage Kane. There's a reason I'm saying that.
Yeah. There's a vintage Kane. Demon
Kane, if you will, yeah.
Because then we go to Monday night. Okay. Now, how many people marked out when Kane was Director of Operations Kane and he was, you know, Mr. Middle Management, Mr. you know, have a nice day, model employee. I was laughing my ass off.
Jekyll and Hyde Kane is best Kane.
Yes, it is.
Truly.
Yes, exactly. Gene, you laughed at that, didn't you?
I'm sorry, I didn't actually catch that. Could you repeat that?
I'm asking, did you laugh at Split Personality Kane?
It was okay. I much preferred when Abyss did it in TNA, because I would legit pay money to see Joe Park.
Oh, as a matter of fact, there was a tweet about that from Joseph Park, actually. He tweeted about that, and which I have to pull off because it's pretty damn funny. Because I read it. Yeah, here it is. He tweeted. Where is it? He said, "Wow, it seems like other families share the same problems my brother and I did. Small world."
Indeed.
It was
nice, as we'd see going out throughout the night. You know the difference between corporate Kane, who's back with the authority, air quotes, and I'm a F you up masked Kane.
Yes, exactly. Yes, because he's living rent free in Mr. Rollins' head. You see, okay, and it's pretty interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and I just have to. I don't know. You probably talked about that last week. I'm just going to where we are because we had a. Just 1 second here.
He's new at hosting, folks. It's okay.
No, I'm not new to hosting. I just want to.
I know you want to make sure you got your facts in order.
I want to get my facts in. Absolutely correct. Because...
By the way, if I may quickly mention this, because it's tangentially related. If you haven't watched on the WWE Network yet, you've got to check out.
Yes, I was going to get to that, but go ahead.
Legends with JBL.
Yes.
The interview with Eric Bischoff is good stuff. Surprisingly to me, good stuff.
And also, do not forget the table. What is it called? Table for Three?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
There's a new episode with Molly Holly, Ivory, and I believe Medusa Michelli that's supposedly off the chain, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. They actually made a comment about the Divas Division that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I believe who was it? It was Ivory saying that she doesn't think that the Divas of today could hang with them back in the day.
Ooh.
No, I don't think you can. No. No, I don't think they can.
There are one or two of them that could, but the majority probably not.
Okay,
maybe the three names that I think could hang: Sasha Banks, Natalia, and maybe Paige.
I also see Bailey in there.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay. Oh, I mean, the only thing that really was interesting about Raw was yet again, the whole, being dragged into hell after Cena won. I mean, we have this MSG card coming up, and they're really starting to promote that in a very, very, very big way. I just need to actually find...
It's really going back to the old days when MSG Network would air the house shows there, and Prism would air the Spectrum house shows, and Nessun would air the Boston Garden shows, only to a larger audience in this time, potentially at least.
Right, okay. So we have six matches for this MSG show. They've added a steel cage match between Seth Rollins and John Cena. I don't know for which title which title will be defended. We talked about Lesnar Big Show. We have the New Day versus the Dudleys for the tag team titles, and they promoted it on the Michael Cole interview this week.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a title change there, couldn't you?
Possibly.
Okay.
MSG could go nuts if the Dudleys win. Although, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
They may like trombones too. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. We also have Owens Jericho, who is, they've been doing that on the road. Sheamus Orton and Rusev with Dolph Ziggler. So that's, again, I like the fact that they're doing this. I like the fact that they're promoting these shows pretty much. You know, but most of the news that happened this week, again, was out of, you know, out of the realm of the ring, pretty much. Okay. Let me just go to, yes. Okay. Remember we talked about Mr. Scott Steiner not shutting the tweet up? Okay.
Oh, yes.
We actually have a court date.
Oh, boy.
February 11th. Okay. That, yes.
You got to love the judicial system, people.
Yeah, February 11th will be the court date for this thing. But speaking of court dates, a more interesting – you remember Shane, you talked about Kurt Angle, the poor bastard. There's a reason why you called him a poor bastard, and it's not good at all. Really, it's not.
No, no, definitely not. Yeah, Kurt Angle had to come out publicly and make a statement due to the fact his brother has been charged with, sorry if I get this wrong, manslaughter, wasn't it?
I think so. Allegedly murdering his wife. I don't know what it is.
He's allegedly murdering his wife. So Kurt Angle had to come out on bloody Twitter and other places and make a public statement about how he's standing by his brother. Honestly, doesn't believe his brother's done this. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, I forgot to talk something about Night of Champions and what the WWE has done about it. Okay. During the six-man match, we had another asshole jump the ring. Okay.
Hey. I'm going to defend this guy, okay? I honestly thought it was Jelly Mercury.
Oh, shut up. Really?
I thought it was Jelly Mercury or Goldberg making a return.
I will give this asshat credit. He dressed like he was the third member of the Shield.
He did, okay. But this asshat got 10 days in jail because the WWE has basically said, fuck this, we're not doing this anymore, okay? We're prosecuting.
This comes back to things we talked about last week. There's got to be something clearer to the fans, to whether it be on the tickets, in the pre-match, pre-card announcements. I mean, crystal clear, not like and anybody jumps around. Well, let's have a good time. We're gonna go live in 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, but here's another idea. Instead of having to do all that stupid crap, how about have better friggin' security?
That too.
Yes.
Like
too.
Explain to me how a fan like can get, because like some of these fans aren't even in the front row. I have heard stories of fans that are in like the fifth or sixth row that are running through the aisleway and jumping over the barricade and somehow getting into the ring. So explain to me in that thought process how a fan gets from that point and a security guard standing there at the barricade and does not see that happening and goes, oh shit, I think this guy's going towards the ring, I better stop him. Oh wait, he's already in the ring, damn, I'm too late. Like, how does that happen? It doesn't. If you're a security guard, you're straight on it. I guarantee you, if these guys were protecting, if WWE security was protecting the president of the United States, you would have so many dead presidents right now.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. You know what? I don't disagree.
Unless it was a Republican.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Come on, Vince. Nah, come on.
Oh. No, but all joking aside, I think you're absolutely right, Shane. And I'll ask you, Gene, what do you think the WWE has got to do besides prosecuting these assholes?
Well, it's not going to be politically correct when I say it.
Go ahead. Excuse me. Let me just do a little warning. The views expressed at this particular moment are Gene Aguilera's and his alone. CLW83 cares. It's on you. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, it's like this. If a fan wants to get in the ring, it's open season on his ass.
Yes. Agreed. Bingo. I'm on with you. Kick his ass. Seriously.
Let me make this abundantly clear. If anybody, I don't give a fuck who you think you are, decides to get in the ring and you don't even know how to run the ropes, you're just a fan who bought a ticket, I'm going to beat your fucking ass.
Gene MF and Aguilera is back, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Seriously, you're right. But Do you agree with it? And the thing, of course, the wrestlers won't do it because of legal lawsuits. But you know what? If you jump the turns, if you jump the fence, open season, I would love to see John Cena kick the crap out of somebody.
Oh, please. Are you kidding me? John Cena would just shake that fan's hand, give him a little nudge and be like, get out of the ring, buddy. It's okay. I'll give you a photograph and an autograph later. Okay, there you go.
No, he would. I don't think so.
I'll bet. Okay. Once again, the views that Bad News B-Man here is about to put out there is not with the CLW83 network, okay? I encourage all 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds to jump over the barricade during a John Cena match and see what happens. I can guarantee you right now, John Cena would not hit him, would not touch him. He would just smile.
No, he wouldn't touch kids, but I know he would touch...
All right, fine. All 23-year-old women, I advise you.
The bigger breast is the bestest. Hakeets.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking. Okay.
But before you get to that, hold that thought. I just want to make mention that according to Wrestle Chat, at the SmackDown tapings in Corpus Christi, correspondents mentioned that security had a much larger presence and they were actually cracking down more on fans, even leaning over the barricade. And those yelling animatedly at wrestlers. So,
you're so screwed, Jason. If you ever go to an event near Lillian Garcia, you can't even lean.
Restraining order.
You know.
But piggybacking off of that, go ahead, Jason.
Tank Abbott, you stupid son of a bitch.
Oh man.
Oh shit.
Go ahead, Shane.
Hold on a sec. I just gotta get. Take the gloves off here for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, the views expressed for those of Bad News Beeman, but quite frankly, of any other person who has half a brain. Continue.
Hold on. Let me get comfortable, though. I got to crack open this beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen some dumbasses in my lifetime, but Tank Abbott, you are the stupidest motherfucker of all. Tank Abbott decides... because he's not in the spotlight anymore with his MMA career, he decides to go on his little shitty podcast and decides to go talk about Ronda Rousey and made a comment about how she commented that she could take Floyd Mayweather in a fight and said, and his exact statement was, pretty boy Floyd would knock the living stuffing out of Ronda Rousey, which I'm not going to confirm nor deny due to the fact that, hey, It depends what type of match we're talking about, a boxing match or an MMA match. It's here or there. But then this asshat goes even further and says he's going to put a challenge out there. He's not even going to bother training. He would take Ronda Rousey and Cyborg or any two bitches that decided to get in the ring with him, and if they beat him, he will give them $100,000. If not, then they have to... make him a sandwich, and fold his fucking socks.
You sexist pig. Seriously, right?
I think he took one too many wallops over the head when he was hanging with 3 Count.
Oh, no, Jason. Jim, don't defend him, because here's the thing. This was a week later. A week after his podcast had happened, he got put on a friggin' little news station with a couple of guys that were doing a segment with him, and they said, dude, you're not actually doing this for publicity, are you? Like, is this what you really feel? And he's like, yeah, there's no such thing as the ferocious female. I would smack any bitch that got in the ring with me.
Well, first of all...
So would Chris Brown, but that's a different story.
Yeah, well, first of all, number one, Ronda Rousey has said in multiple interviews that men should fight men and women should fight women. Okay, right. She has said this because she says she thinks it's a bad image of men beating up women. She has said this. I actually saw it on the Ellen Show recently.
Right, she was on there recently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the deal, Tank. Do yourself a favor. Shut the fuck up, really? Okay, really?
Like Tank. Here's the facts about you, mate. You look like Santa Claus if Santa Claus went off diet. That's just a fact. You're that fucked up. It's not even funny.
This is a guy who has one MMA win in 10 years.
This is the same man that went running his mouth about Kimbo Slice at the age of fucking 43 years old and got knocked out 30 seconds into the first round.
43 seconds, exactly. So you know what? Look, I think we have a place, a very special place for Tank. But before we send him there, Gene, weigh in.
All I'm going to say is, it's 2015. Who gives a motherfuck about what Tank Abbott has to say? Does anybody even know what Tank Abbott looks like now?
No, and I don't really want to see it, really.
Like I said, I saw what Tank Abbott looks like now, and like I said, he looks like Santa Claus on crack.
That's what happens when you strip Mark Madden's shirt off, you turn into Mark Madden.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And here's a little room for you.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, asshat.
Yeah, exactly. Some other legal news, the Jimmy Superfly Snuka case. Next hearing is going to be October 7th. Let's see.
Oh, you want legal news? Legal news.
Yeah, because that's in your area, isn't it?
Something like that. Let's go to Carbon County, Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody's favorite $25 spooner is back in the news. Tammy Sitch, you may remember her as Sunny. Right now, her life looks pretty cloudy and gray. Was taken into a custody back on recently based on an active bench warrant that was issued back on the 3rd of
two
September.
Two days ago as we record this, Wednesday.
She missed three hearings regarding a May 30th arrest in Mahoning Township, Pennsylvania. She was pulled over after driving erratically in a Walmart parking lot, leading to charges of DUI, driving with a suspended license, and careless driving. And the best part of it all here, ladies and gentlemen, she is scheduled to go before the judge.
She did it. She went over the judge today. And
her scheduled trial date is her 42nd birthday, December 7th. Aww. Mm-hmm.
And her bail was $2,000, and she couldn't even afford that.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And you can buy Tammy Sinch's new magazine, Prison Bitch Monthly, in store soon.
Oh,
yes. Yes, where she gets to have fun with Bubba's ex.
Wait, just remember, if you want to visit her prison cell bed, it's only $50. Just
$50, but if you act now and you promise to tell a friend to get some word of mouth advertising, she'll let you go up the Hershey Highway absolutely free.
Oh, jeez!
I'm sorry. This is just. It takes a special kind of person to be, you know, pulled over for driving erratically in a Walmart parking lot.
I guess sunny days don't work at the cops in that area.
But do you know who might really be having some dark days really soon? Gene, you know who?
Who?
Mr. Hulk Hogan himself.
Stop it, you brother.
Well, let me just explain to you why, okay?
Okay, brother.
Now, we've all talked about the infamous sex tape lawsuit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. According to the Tampa Tribune, a number of media outlets, including the AP, have requested that the Pinellas County Court unseal the records related to the lawsuit against Gawker Media over presenting the excerpt of the sex tape. Okay. The center of the request is the FBI records related to the investigation into the leaking of the tape, which was unsealed for Gawker at their request but not released to the public. The fact that the issues at stake in a civil court are kept being private has led to a lot of questions as what is on the tape and what was unearthed in the FBI investigation and why they're being protected in the public eye. If the court agrees with the media, everything from that investigation may soon be matter of a public record. Oh, boy. Okay. The trial is set for March 2016. So let's play devil's advocate. Jim, how bad could this be if the records get unsealed?
Honestly, this could be something that causes Hogan I'm not saying this for shock value, to commit suicide. It could be that dark and that grim. He wouldn't want to face it. It could be that bad for him personally and professionally. I mean, you know, he thinks he's hit rock bottom right now. Not even close. It would ruin things on so many levels. And I'll put it to you like this. It could be wrestling's answer to Bill Cosby to a certain degree.
Sorry, there's nothing else you can say, but damn. If those records get unsealed and what I think is on them is there, then I have a bad feeling that we might see Hogan be the next one being sent to jail. I have a funny feeling.
And you know he wouldn't last in jail. He would not last at all. He doesn't have the constitution for it, as it were.
What, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what prison is going to look like for Hulk Hogan? I'm sure there are plenty of murderers and rapists that grew up as Hulkamaniacs.
Yeah, and they'll be ready to kick his ass immediately.
No, they'll be ready to take. They'll be ready to take him to prison, mania. But that's another.
Honestly, I don't want to joke about prison rape, you guys.
Yeah, it's not. It's
no.
It's really
no, no, no. I'm not. No, I'm not saying. Not saying like that in that way. I mean more like I can guarantee there are some guys that gonna want to kick his ass.
Right. Right.
I'm gonna ask you. Do you think that there could be something with the Nick Hogan thing? You know, like payoffs and something to that effect.
I reckon Hogan on there. Hogan's got some. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Hogan's got some bribery on there. Probably even some extortion. I don't know. This is Hulk Hogan we're talking about here. Yes, he's the same man that taught us to eat our prayers, say our vitamins, and all that. But we don't know what the real man Terry Bollea is like behind closed doors.
I don't know, Gene. Like you said, it could be. This is really bad for him, right?
Honestly, how much longer? Like this sex tape. How the fuck much more evidence does this have? I mean,
we don't know. I don't know.
It's like first it comes out and everybody saw that Hogan was doing Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, which really nobody wanted to see a Hulk Hogan in his 50s naked.
No, or bare ass. No, we did not need to see that.
Well, it already gave Hulk Hogan a douchebag mark for sleeping with his best friend's wife. But anyways, continue.
Yes, now ex-wife, correct, if I'm not mistaken.
But anyway, first you got this. Then it turns out that during the video, Hulk Hogan just raged on black people for some weird reason.
And gay people.
It's like, what the fuck do you have next? You have Hogan eating a baby? Is Hulk Hogan, like, I don't know, plotting secretly the mastermind behind a satanic cult or something? It's like, what? What the fuck more did Hulk Hogan do in this tape?
Oh God, we come to find out, ladies and gentlemen, that Hulkamania has been a satanic cult this whole time. Shit, people will lose their ever loving minds.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's insane. Now, just a couple of other things. You know, Hernandez no longer with Lucha Underground, but more importantly, Lucha Underground gets a season 2. I am so happy about this. So happy about this.
But it
would be smart. I was thinking about this the other day. This would be a best idea. You put Dario Cueto in front, in, you know, going through a review of season 1 on a DVD release, right?
There you go. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And let's see. Just to laugh a little bit. How many people's... okay. Gene, you're an independent wrestler, right? Because we're gonna before this is the last story before I'm gonna get, you said you have a little at the guardrail we want to talk about. You stated you like I said, you've worked in very low ceiling environments, haven't you?
Yes,
I have.
Okay. Did you see the picture of Finn Balor stuck in the ceiling of the Lakeland, Florida gym where they were at, or wherever it was? Did you see that picture?
I did. I don't know if he was trying to do a frog splash or not, but
it was the stomp. It was the double stomp.
Oh, okay. So, you know, people joke a lot about people bringing the roof down on a place, but I mean,
it looks like the cat that just missed the jump and just, you know, is stuck in the well, you know. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
That's funny stuff.
You really can't make this kind of shit up. This is only happens in professional wrestling.
Exactly. Now, you know, I mean, Shane, pretty funny, right, though? I mean, it's
yeah,
pretty funny.
Funnily enough, it's not the first time I've seen that happen. I actually was commentating an independent wrestling event myself and had a similar situation happen. Guy was going for a elbow drop or something, and his head hit the roof. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy. So yeah. Gene, so you said you got a story for us? A little story time action? What do you got?
Let's see. What would you be interested in hearing? Anything?
Well, what do you got? What do you got? We got a little time.
Okay.
I would say at least another 10 minutes or so.
I'm going to take you guys back to, like, the early days of my training.
Okay.
Okay. So, I'm going to be perfectly honest here. I don't have a thimbleful of natural athletic talent. I mean, you talk about Mick Foley talks about having like half a thimbleful of athletic talent. You could fit my athletic talent into the head of a pin with room to spare. But that being said, okay, so it started like this. This was like 3 or 4 months into my training, and it was one Monday night, and it was just me, Juan Jeremy, one of the old heads at the World of Unpredictable Wrestling, and Prince Nero. And I was learning how to do a schoolboy for the first time. So it went like this. They showed me a couple of times how the schoolboy was done. I took a schoolboy or two. And then it was my turn to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I wasn't quite clear on the mechanics, because when you do a schoolboy, you're supposed to go between the guy's legs and then hook him by the thigh or something like that. When I did my first schoolboy, I ended up getting a handful of Prince Nero.
Mm-mm.
I'll let your imagination run wild on that one.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well.
safe to say that he was very uncomfortable with me for the rest of the night.
Oh, God. Wow. You got anything else?
I think Jane grabbed the wrong handle.
Jeez.
That was decidedly not his thigh.
Oh, gee. Oh, wow. Oh, those aren't his
thighs. Don't worry, Gene. Funnily enough, you're not the first guy I've heard that's attempted like a schoolboy and unfortunately grabbed the mini. It's like,
yes.
To this day, I still... I think that's why I started drinking again. Just
there you go.
Just
there you
to
go.
Erase that memory. It's still
like excuse me. After I get off this podcast, I'm going to start drinking because of all the technical bullshit that I've been through tonight. And in advance, I want to apologize to the editors. That would be Carl. That would be Jim. For this, because I really want to take Skype and just throw it out the window.
I got my fucking hammer ready.
Yeah, it's not the modem. I swear, it's not the modem.
Oh, okay? There you are, Carl.
It's not the modem. But hey, Carl, since we're here, can you just give your voice for just one quick second?
There's my voice. Ha ha ha. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's talk football.
Yes. Yeah, and Jason actually did not rage quit last night.
No, I did not rage quit. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize for rage quitting on Wednesday for the BS Big Show. We reviewed week 2 of the NFL. We are already in week 3, and the Giants actually won a football game. Yay! You know,
and not my surprise, but Drew Brees is going to miss his first Saints game as a being injured.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about week 3 stuff, hopefully back on our normal recording night of Tuesday. Just things were a little hectic. We had to do it on Wednesday this week. We got that. We got other stuff, huh, Jim?
Absolutely. Touch them all. We'll do another episode coming up this week. I assume the current episode's up on the site. Yes? No? Maybe? So? But we're in the final week of the regular season. Kansas City has clinched a division championship. Congratulations to the Royals. The Mets may not be too much further behind in clinching.
Their magic number, as we speak, is about to go down to, I believe, 2. I don't know, along those lines.
Yeah. So there's that. That's exciting times. We'll talk about the passing of Yogi Berra, one of baseball and sports great ambassadors. And on the flip side, we'll talk about how we are just 3 or 4 months away from finding out if Pete Rose goes into the Hall of Fame. And just found out this nugget. Your boy, Jason, Bobby Valentine, is back in the news.
Why?
He thinks PEDs in baseball are a good thing and should be legalized. I will take his ass to town.
Oh, and also, we are going to talk about another legend stepping down next year.
That's right. Oh, my. Dick Enberg calling it a broadcasting career after 60 years next year.
Yeah, here's a message to you, Bobby. Stick with Sacred Heart and your job over there and shut your fucking mouth.
F the Sacred Heart. But that's all coming up on the next episode of Touch 'Em All, our final regular season edition. And we'll be with you throughout each round of the playoffs as well.
Exactly. And,
to which Gene Aguilera is like, well, this annoying, pithy Bob Costas want to be shut the fuck up already.
Honestly, go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
Shane.
You hate my voice. I know. You hate my voice and the feeling's mutual.
Yes, Shane, by the way, you're right, because Seth Rollins in the interview on WWE.com about Sting was basically in the interview going, I didn't know what happened. I apologize. And Sting was like, don't worry about it. It happens. And he basically... Sting put him over very big time. Good stuff.
Put him over big time. He has gone on record and said Seth Rollins is the best he has worked with. That's putting him over Ric Flair. Jesus Christ, there's so many to name from. Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. Like, Seth Rollins just pretty much got given a rub from a guy that's been in the business for 30 years. And
longer than Seth Rollins has been alive, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That's just as. Do you have anything to plug, Seth? Oh, not Seth. Shane.
I wish we had Seth to plug. Are you kidding me?
We probably could. We'd have to kidnap him first. But anyways, no, I've got nothing to promote except for go Jared Hayne and the 49ers.
For the love of God, stop the pain.
Gene, when's your next show, World of Unpredictable Wrestling?
Funny you should ask. We actually have a show coming up on October 10th, this on Saturday night, Gleason's Gym at 8 o'clock.
Cool. And how much are tickets and where can people find them?
Well, tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for children. If you'd like, you can give us a call at 718-797-2872 for details. Or if you'd like, you can also hit me up on my Facebook or Twitter. Actually, better to hit me up at Twitter, at victory_cannon.
And the web does the World of Unpredictable Wrestling have a website?
Oh, yes, we do. You can also look us up on www.online.com. That's WUW, in case you thought I just said WW. Online.com.
WLTI Live, I believe, will be recording a new episode this weekend. Price is Right is in. I mean, game show season is in back full swing. We have premieres of Survivor.
Gotta check out Decades Week if you haven't yet.
Yes, you must. Oh, it is awesome. It is really good. Not perfect, but close. And Gordon had a very interesting point, which he'll bring up on that. Pixel Nation will be back with a new episode. These technical issues, which we're gonna freaking fix. Hopefully we'll be done soon, so Brian and I can record an episode. Red State, Blue State. Oh, yeah, big news this week. John Boehner, he gone. Bye, Felicia. And
fare thee well.
Fare thee well and stop crying. Exactly.
We're gonna get emotional.
Yeah, please. But what I'm not going to get emotional is that we're done with this particular show. I apologize for either A, the shortness of length, and B, just the technical issues. Again, I apologize profusely. You won't hear it, but it was there. And like I said, we appreciate this. But until next time, where someone else will have the keys to the kingdom, because Nikki is still going to be on her Go to Hell tour. For Jim, for Carl, for Gene Aguilera, for Shane, and for everyone here at CLW 83, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.